Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Last week we've been talking about the whole series of seasons. And Pastor Mindy, she started us out with a really good time talking about the seasons of life that we're all in. And we can always expect, if you're in a season, you can always expect that things are going to change, right? Amen? No matter what you're going through, you can figure it out that you can always say that things are going to be different in your life from one season to the next. But it's how we navigate from one season to the next season is how we get our breakthrough a lot of times. We talked about last week, we talked about the season of rejection and how I didn't realize how big that was until I started doing some research on it, man. It's really a big spirit out there that's casting its ugly head on even God's people who are having to go against that. So we're going to talk today. But when I say about life is seasonal, farmers don't panic when it's winter. You know why? Because they know spring is coming. In the same way, God allows seasons. He allows these seasons to help us grow, shape us, and prepare us. Last week, we talked about David. He faced the season of rejection, and he had to overcome some things. He had to overcome being overlooked, undervalued, and invisible. But here, let me tell you, let me give you some encouragement. God sees what no one else can see. God can see what people around you can't see, what your family can't see. So let's look at 1 Samuel 6:16. So it was when they came that he, Samuel the prophet, looked at Eliab, which is the oldest brother, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointing is before him." He said, "Surely this has got to be the guy." Because he's tall, like me, dark when I have a tan, and extremely handsome. You better be saying something up here, girl. But what he did is he forgot about Saul, because that was the same thing that he said about Saul. He forgot that the physical requirements were what Saul were. He was tall, dark, handsome. He had it seemingly all together. But Samuel, like us, often do our judging by looking at the looks, our surface. They look at our social status. They look at how good the personality is. They look at all of the outside things. And culture paints a picture that if we don't live in a certain lifestyle, if we don't have the biggest house, if we don't have the car, can y'all imagine? These cars are expensive these days. Yeah. Come on, I remember, I ain't going to tell you how long ago. I remember you could buy a car for like 15 grand. You can't even get nothing for $15,000 anymore. But culture paints a picture that if you don't look a certain way, if you don't act a certain way, if you don't dress to fit the part, you're never going to be happy or you're never going to be fulfilled. We have a lot of people walking around feeling rejected because they feel like they're not blending in. They feel like they're not leveling up to what culture wants us to be. Can I just tell you, God's Bible says you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. You don't have to fit in what everybody else thinks about you. You don't have to worry about, I'm getting ahead of myself right now. But look at verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, I love it, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." What's inside of you is more important than what's outside of you. You can walk around with your mask on. You can walk around looking the part. I was talking to someone today. "How are you doing today?" They said, "Terrible, not good." I said, "But that's okay. Because at least you're being honest about." So many times you meet people and they say, "Oh, I'm just great today." Their life is in chaos. They're about to go under, but yet they got a smile on their face. I think so many times we can get breakthrough and do the things that we need to do if we're honest enough to say, "Listen, I'm not having a good day." Especially if you're around people who love you and people who are there to support you, you can say, "I'm not having a good day. What can I do for you?" What's important on the inside is more important than what's on the outside. I'm asking this question: how is your heart? I'm not talking about the physical one that beats blood. In the Bible, it says the heart is a reference to the inner core of a person's mind, will, emotions, conscience. Even our spiritual center is all wrapped up into one thing there. Your heart affects the decision. Listen, it affects the decisions that you make. And I'm asking you this question: who or what are you guided by each day? Proverbs 3:5 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not, this is going to get you in trouble, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So many times we make decisions by flippantly going by what we want. What we said our heart is drawing us to that. Well, your heart, the Bible says the heart is deceitful. It can get you in trouble, can it, Demetrius? It'll get you in a lot of trouble sometimes. But what else it does? It affects the words that we speak. In two places, the word says this: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When me and Pastor Mindy, we fight sometimes, not too bad. When we first got married, we fought all the time. All the time. And she used to throw scripture at me all the time. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you're saying to me is really coming out of your heart. There was some truth to that, but you know, when you're in the heat of the moment in a fight, you're just thinking about, what can I say next? But also she used to say, you're supposed to love like Christ, you're supposed to love me like Christ loved the church. And I said, well, I ain't Jesus. We can't make excuses, y'all. This should be our prayer, Psalms 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The heart affects how we look at material things. The Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. When you start putting your heart into mostly your career and your job and your money and your possessions and everything else that seemingly at the end of it doesn't really amount to a whole lot of anything, to be honest with you. I've seen so many people go to the end of their life and wish they had that chance to bring back those relationships and had all the money in the world and all the fame, but yet still something was missing. And what the heart does, it ultimately affects your ultimate decision. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says about salvation. What you do, what you say, what you believe shows the condition of your heart. That ought to scare us a little bit sometimes. How we act, the words we say, the things that we convey to other people, it shows the condition of our heart. I've been around too many Christians, too many, that just didn't seem like they had a good heart. They professed Jesus and they said, hey, you know, I gave my life to Jesus, but yet you're grouchy. I was a little grouchy on vacation, I ain't gonna lie. But they don't see the fruit of what Christ has done in your life. Come on, if they can't see Jesus in you, you're not portraying him in the right way. Israel wanted a king. God wanted a heart. So David now is called to the table. He's anointed to be king. And the title of this message is From Pasture to Purpose. 1 Samuel 16:13. So as David stood there among his brothers, remember there's all in the group there, Samuel took the flask of olive oil that he had brought and anointed David with oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Listen to this. Then Samuel returned home to Ramah. Samuel went home. Samuel left without David. David was probably standing there going, okay, I just got oil poured over me. This is a little bit weird. I had to stand in front of all my brothers. What's going on? And Samuel's like, peace. What do you think David was thinking in those things? What do you think that journey back to the pasture looked like to David? Did he lose sight of the blessings? Did he lose sight of what had just been put on him? Come on now, y'all. We want to think about David as being this. David was human. He was probably feeling the same things we would have felt. Many of us in this position would be busy sulking, right? We'd be complaining. We'd be throwing a pity party for ourselves. When people overlook you, quit letting their opinions matter. Yeah. Come on. So many times we want to worry about what everybody... We want to worry about what everybody else is thinking about us all of the time. We live in a comparison world. Social media is terrible. They don't look that good. Come on, their kids are acting crazy. But they ain't going to show you that. They're going to show you the filtered version of their life. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Her food is not that good. Now, my wife's food is A1. It's good. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You think it's... The husband's probably going, man, that woman can't even cook. When people overlook you, quit letting their opinion matter and go forward and step into your own calling. Step into the blessing God has for you. When you step into that, you'll realize that, number one, the pasture season is not punishment. If you treat the pasture season as punishment, you're always going to be in timeout. Come on, how many of y'all discipline your kids with timeout? Come on, y'all can raise your hands. Does it work? I see some of this. I see some of this. There was no timeout with my mom. It was a Hot Wheel track. It was a shoe. It was whatever was around that she could actually use as a weapon, the weapon formed against me that didn't go for my mom. But so many times we ask the reason, the questions, why? I was never allowed to ask why. You ever been around a whiny kid? But why, my, why? My mom used to say, because I said so, and that's the end of the story. But David was probably hurt, and he said, why couldn't I stay at the house? He was angry. Why am I heading back to watch these sheep again? He might have had some pride coming up and saying, I'm the king, and I have to go back to this? Come on. There was probably a whole lot of emotions that were going through his mind as he was taking that journey back to the sheep. And pride probably came into the face, and fear and doubt, all of them. Why wasn't I taken to the palace? Here's what happened. He said, maybe they got it wrong. Maybe this is the one that gets us. Maybe I'm not qualified to do this because it didn't happen the way that I thought it was going to happen. Come on. So many things in our lives didn't happen the way we thought it had. So we've disqualified ourselves, thinking, oh, I'll never be able to achieve that. I'll never be able to do that. And God says, you're looking at it all wrong. Sometimes I need that pasture season to get you prepared to do the things that you're called to do. God had to eliminate the why to get to the what. In God's eyes, he was the king, but he may not have been fully ready. David was anointed, but he was sent back to the pasture to prepare. It's like being hired for a job, right? You got the job, but it's going to take about 15 years for you to get it. What would you be saying? I need to go to Taco Bell and get a job then. But he says it may be a few years. You have to wait. Sometimes waiting, and Pastor Minnie's going to talk about this next week, get you really test your faith to see how you're going to wait in that season. Don't quit because you haven't seen it fulfilled yet. Listen, God's timing is intentional. Yes. He doesn't do anything by accident. So many of us think, man, my life is just going, I'm just going in 15 different directions. If you start trusting God, you're going to find out that his timing is intentional. He has a plan and a purpose for you, all set up for you for the time to be. You might have to go through some seasons to get to it, but he has the plan for you. Here's the good thing about David. He humbled himself. He said, there are still some things that I need to learn. And there are some things that only God can teach you. You're going to learn today. Sometimes that's what he says. Number two, the pasture season is a time of correction and preparation. Sometimes to get to the place, sometimes to get to the palace, sometimes to get to the destiny, there is a process that you have to go through. Always. Don't accelerate the process to get to the destination. You didn't get to where you're at overnight. So many of us beat ourselves up because we can't figure out how to get it all figured out. But yet somebody got to hear this. We spent a lifetime messing it up, and we want it fixed in a day. Wow. We want it fixed in a week. We want it fixed in a month. We want it fixed in a year. Sometimes it takes a long thing to undo some of the damage that we've done to ourselves. Don't try to accelerate the process, because God has you in the process, in the place where you need to be right now for the season that you're in right now. Don't try to get out of it. God elevates through elimination. There are things that he needed to learn. Listen to y'all. Listen to me. Some of y'all religious folk in the house. There's some things he needed to unlearn. I had to unlearn a lot of things I learned as a child. I'm not saying as I grew up that there wasn't things that were taught to me and things, that, principles and things that I really would go by. But there are things that were taught to me that were truly not true. And I had to go back and relearn that, Terry. I had to relearn that God really does love me. He's not up there ready to strike me with a lightning bolt. He loves me more. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's not God Father. He's God the Father. I had to learn all that stuff. I had to unlearn a lot too. Correction in private can keep you from showing up in public. Wow. Pay attention. Allow God to put you in time out so that you won't be a brat later. Have y'all seen any brats out there in the world? There's times when I thought my mom would be under the jail. She would probably be dead. She probably got capital punishment. Because you let God put you in time out. Let him put you in those places of correction now so that you won't be a brat later. You're going to learn what you need to learn right now in the season that you're in. The pastor can put you in position. It'll put you in the right position if you allow it. It can position you to take your rightful place at the right time. At the right time. At the appointed time. At the time God has for you, not what you've made for yourself. So many times we got a timeline for our lives. We should be here, and we should be here, and we should be here. And when we don't get here, we go backwards. I didn't get there, so I'm going to go back here where it was comfortable. But God's got the right time, the right place, the right position for you in the season you're in. But how, when you're in the season, how do you not lose hope? How do you stay faithful in a season that doesn't look like anything you thought it would look like? You have a calling on your life. You're anointed by God. But you're still taking care of the sheep. You're still working 9 to 5. Come on. You're still behind that desk you hate. You're still answering that phone when you don't want to answer that phone. God has already showed you what's to come, but you're in the season now of preparation to do those things without grumbling, without complaining, without making the whole other part of the office miserable. That'll preach. Serving looks like doing some things you don't want to do sometimes. What looks like humiliation could be really preparation. 15 years, he went back out. And it was 15 years before he became the king. Moses was 40 years trying to figure it out. John the Baptist, he was out in the wilderness. And there was Jesus too. Sometimes we all have to go through preparation to get to the promise. Next can be the enemy of now. I'm going to say that again. Next can be the enemy of now. What's next in my life? Be faithful in the season you're in now, and God will show you what's next. He can never show you what's next if you're not faithful in the season you're in now. Pastor Rich preached a great message called Now and Later. If you do what's right now, it's going to show up later. It may be 15 years from now. It may be 20 years from now. It may be months from now. But if you keep doing and you're diligent about doing that, it's going to show up eventually. If God showed you the end of it, Jason, you wouldn't be happy where you're at all now. Come on. If he showed you the end of it, you wouldn't be happy where you're at now. Patience is not simply the ability to wait. It's how you behave while you're waiting. Oh man, that would preach about 2 more hours, but anyway. And waiting on God does not equal me doing nothing. Sometimes we think, I'm just waiting on the Lord. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm waiting on the Lord. What are you doing? I'm chilling. God's like, no, sometimes you got to work while you're waiting. Sometimes you have to do the hard things, Jason, the hard things that we do when we're waiting. We got to figure it all out. Seasons of waiting are just as productive as seasons of action. Number three, the pasture season turns obstacles into opportunities. He turned loneliness into relationship. Who was David talking to out there in the pasture? Ain't nobody else around. He was talking to God. He increased his relationship with God because there was no one else out there to talk to. He might have went going, bah! They wasn't speaking the same language as he was. But when he started speaking the language God could hear, man, the psalms started coming. The songs started coming. The things started coming in his life. He started to be able to line up with what God wanted him to be because he would need it for coming up in a few weeks, the winning season. There is a season out there that if you go through all of the things, there's a season you're going to go through. That's the winning season where everything is going right in your life. I'm not getting ahead of myself. Come on, some of y'all, you ready for the winning season? Come on, I saw that hand go up. There's a winning season coming for you, David, because you've been faithful. He learned how to be with God, and God learned how to be with him. He turned silence into listening. We live in a loud world that's screaming at us. It's always trying to, so much stuff going on right now. Our brains are in overload. Especially women's brains. They're in overload all the time anyway. But even the guys' brains, and we're going in 15 different directions. We can't figure out what to do, Carson. We're like, sometimes you need to wait upon the Lord, and quietness is not the norm in the culture we live in today. But here's what David did. In that time, in that pasture season, he learned how to be still. Several weeks ago, I preached a message called Be Still. Sometimes we just got to be still. Sometimes God can't speak to us, Fonda, because we're going in 1,500 different directions, and we're trying to please everybody else. God said, if you just stop dead with what you're doing, I can speak to you. I can't hear you, God. It's because you ain't listening. Isn't even the right word. You ain't listening. You know what he did? He turned mundane into practice. He got good at that harp because he was going to play that harp for the king in a few years. He learned how to sling that sling. He learned how to sing them songs. He learned how to write them psalms, P.S., alms. My favorite basketball player of all time is Larry Bird because I relate to him. He was slow. He was white. And he couldn't jump. I fit all that criteria in school. That's why I love Larry so much. But he had to work on his skill. Said he shot 1,000 shots a day. He wanted to always play against the bigger and the better players. He didn't want to go play against people he knew he could beat. He wanted to play against the better ones. He used this time to become trained. David says, I'm going to be the best slingshot guy in the world. What you consider an obstacle, what you consider a roadblock, what you consider bad things, may be God trying to teach you how to navigate through his plan. Come on, y'all. What you're going through may be necessary to where you're going to. Number four, the pasture season helps you see things differently. How you see things determines how you react to them, right? Come on, can I get an amen on that one? He had to start looking at his circumstances. He had to start looking at the situation differently. He had to start looking at the things around. Come on. That's what we have to do so much in our lives. We look at the things we want to look at, and we see them through the lens, come on, y'all, of what we saw when we were growing up. We see them through the lens of what somebody has told you about you. We see them through the lens of what the world tells us. But sometimes we need to change our perspective and see how God sees us. Pasture was a place where his spiritual eyes were developed. He started seeing things through God's eyes, not his own eyes. He looked at that lion, and he looked at that bear as opportunities, not obstacles. He's about to face a giant a little bit later on in life. He saw the lion and the bear as opportunities instead of obstacles. And he looked at the scars that the thorns had given him while he was pulling the sheep out of there. Come on, somebody got to hear this. That the rocks had been, he saw the scars that the lion and the bear may have put on it. Come on, you don't fight a lion and a bear and don't get scratched. Let me help you out with something. There's battles in your life that you're going to have scars from. You're going to have wounds from. But there are some things that you can go through in your life that one day you'll look back on that thing and you'll say, man, I remember that scar. I remember when I went through that. I remember David, when he was getting ready to fight that giant, I'm sure he had to look down and say, phew. Dude, I'm not getting ahead of myself. That he don't look too big. That bear was bad. That lion was coming at me with teeth that long. Who is this guy? He didn't see them as pain. He didn't see them as hurt. He didn't see them as past. He saw them as a reminder of what God was doing when nobody was looking. I'm going to say that again. He saw them as a reminder of what God did when nobody was looking. What you do when nobody's looking is way more important than when they're looking. Sometimes we don't feel like that we're making any progress, but then the people around you will see, man, I see such a change in you. You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't act the way you used to act. What's going on? It's because God did something in private that is now showing up in public. That's why when he stood in front of that giant, he said, it ain't nothing but a thing. Come on, keep talking. Keep talking smack. Someone needs to understand that God is more interested in preparation than punishment. You see it as an end, and God sees it as a beginning. Peter cursed God. He denied God. He ran away from him. But Peter was the same one that took charge in the upper room when the Spirit of God fell on those people. He is the one that said, I'm going to build my church. The same guy that failed, the same guy that denied. Come on, you're not disqualified by what happened in your life. God can still use you. God always sees the outcome. David's time in isolation was for his preparation. David didn't need to be seen. He needed to be skilled. What if he never picked up a sling? I don't see no sense in that. What if he never wrote a song or a psalm? What if he never did any of that stuff? What if he decided to give up when things were hard? What if he decided God's promises wasn't the same as they were 15 years later? Come on. There was a lot of things that went through his mind that he could have said, I don't really want to do that. Let me ask you a question. Are you going through a pasture season today? Do you feel isolated? Do you feel unsure? Do you feel lonely? Maybe you're discouraged. He may be trying to perfect you or to prepare you. If you're going through these seasons, there are three things that'll help your pasture season. You ready? Going to write them down? Three things that will help you in your pasture season. First one is worship. David had to learn how to worship when he felt rejected, when he felt insignificant, when he felt isolated. He had to learn how to worship anyway. So many times we come into church and we say, if they just play the right song, I'll worship. Oh, that ain't my favorite song. I'm not lifting my hands to that. David learned how to worship through all of the obstacles and all the circumstances and all the situations that he had to go through. He had to learn how to worship God. Sometimes we just got to understand, all I did was praise, because praise is your weapon. All I did was worship. We got to understand that praise and worship are warfare against the spiritual world that we're living in right now. Also, we got to learn warfare. He had to learn how to fight his battles before he had any battles. Says, all I did was bow down. He learned how to pray. All I did was stand still. He had to learn how to listen and meditate on what God. You cannot fight your own battles. You got to realize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is on your side. that you may not see him ahead of you. He's already went out. If you all only knew the things he's kept you from, I'm going to say it again, I don't care. The things that you didn't have to navigate your life through because he kept you out of it. Some of y'all should be dead in here, including me. But he saw fit to close that gate. He saw fit to close that door. He saw fit to protect you when you didn't know you were being protected. It's so much better his way. And how we get through this pastor season, we have to do this. We have to win. We have to make a winning mentality. It's such a hard thing in the negative world we live in right now. Everything is, woe is me. No, all we do is win, 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 win. I think that's a song. Kobe taught us that like 5 years ago. But when you are a child of the Most High God, you got to take on a winning mentality and say, all we do is win, 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 win. We walk around defeated all the time. And if we knew the authority that we walked in each and every day, we would know that we are a winner. We're an overcomer. That's why our God has never lost a battle. And that's why David could stand in front of a giant and he could talk smack back to a giant. You need to learn how to talk smack back to your giant. I told Brandy the other day, I said, she's preaching my message for a few weeks, but sometimes you got to talk to your giant. Sometimes you got to put your giant in its place, not Your pain can become your purpose. Your past can help someone else's future. Your hurt can be someone else's healing. And your struggle, listen to this, can become your strength. Your struggle, the thing you're going through right now, can be your strength. You know why? Because you're going to meet somebody who's going through that same struggle, and you're going to be able to say on the other side of it, you know, I fought that giant, I won. Let me tell you how I did it. That's what we're here for, y'all. Don't give up. You know why he couldn't give up? Because history was depending on him. The Bible said Jesus was from the lineage of David. His family, his people, the world, they were depending on him, and they're depending on us just the same way. David was not approved in the city square. He wasn't approved on social media. He wasn't approved at a public place. God didn't get to know David, listen, in the palace. He got to know him in the pasture. God's chosen. You may still be out there in the pasture. Don't give up, because he's preparing you for a purpose. There are things you're going through right now. I said it, I'm saying it again. Don't give up. Sometimes we're right on the very edge of what God has for us and we give up. Man, sometimes we're only just a few inches away from the promise he has for us, and we give up and we go backwards. We shrink back. We're in a time and season right now as Christians, as people who believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to have to stand up and fight. We're going to have to believe that we're on the winning side. Like musicians practicing alone before ever stepping on a stage. But the problem is, many people want a microphone to avoid the practice room. They want the microphone. They want it to be able to applaud and say the things, but practice. They don't want to practice. David could have wanted all the things that he wanted, that he was already anointed to be, but he had to practice. He had to be in that position to say, I need something to learn something today. David had to learn how to worship, to fight, to trust when no one else is watching. When no crowd applauded, God was getting his attention. And he was getting the attention of God. God always develops character in private before releasing it in public. If y'all would stand with me, please. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Maybe you're in the pasture season. And maybe the questions you've been asking, you need to ask different questions. instead of why is this happening to me, you might say, what is this season shaping me to be? What is God, somebody's got to hear this one. What is God trying to start in this season? What is he trying to end in this season? There's things in your life right now that he wants to start afresh and anew in you. There are some things that today he said, I want it to end in you. And many of you in this place, many of us know in this place the ending thing. And so many times we feel like we can't put that together because, I mean, just honestly, we've carried it so long that it's become comfortable to us. But God says to step into a new season that I have for you, I want some things to end in your life. Right now, everyone listening to me is in a season. You might need to navigate the season you're in and learn how to trust God more in that season that you're in. Maybe you're just in a season that you just need to surrender. God, I give up. I've tried it my way. How's that working out for me? I want to try it your way because your way is so much better than mine. Maybe you need to surrender your life to him this morning. And just say, Jesus, I want things to change in my life. Maybe you've walked away from God this morning. Maybe that season is of coming back to him afresh and anew. Because God is not sitting up there with a tally mark. He's not sitting up there with a rod and a staff to beat you over the head with it. He's sitting up there going, come on back. Come on. Come on, it's easy. We think it's hard, but God says it's easy. I made a way through Jesus. I made a way. He took all of our sins. He took the pain. He took the sorrow just so you could have everlasting life. This morning, these altars are going to be open. There are going to be people up here in the front to pray with you. But if you're wanting to shift out of a season that you're in right now, God is here to do that today. And let me just be honest with you. Maybe you're in a good season right now. Maybe you're in a season of winning right now. And you're just, man, things are going great in my life. I'm going to take on hell with a squirt gun. Well, people need to hear that from you. They need to know there is a winning season. There is a season that's beyond the pain and the shame and the things that we go through. So this morning, these altars are going to be open. The prayer team's going to be up front here. Whatever you need this morning, God wants to change the season that you're in and give you new life.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.